Oh, don't worry, we weren't in the same class or anything.
Okay. Lucky you.
What are you, Edmund Rover?
Well, I went here. Let's just leave it at that, I guess.
Do you have one of the large blown-up pictures of your younger self hanging around here?
I do. Kind of. Right there.
Gorgeous.
Good times. What do you do? What brings you here?
Well, I came here with somebody who went to school here.
Really?
Bobby Long.
No shit. That's who my friend's hitting on right now. See, right there? The one dressed like Hannah Montana?
In LA, we call that look Nickelodeon chic.
Wait, LA? Los Angeles?
California.
That's awesome, man. What do you do out there?
I'm an actor.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Thank you.
And fucking movies?
Fucking movies, pretty much.
Look at you. What? Anything I've seen? What movies?
Oh, all sorts of movies with all-male casts.
All-male casts? Like Glengarry Glen Ross, like that?
Like Glenn and Gary suck Ross's meaty cock and drop their hairy nuts in his eager mouth.
Is that like a sequel?
Sort of. It's a reimagining.
Oh, like The Wiz.
Tell me a tale that always was. Sing me a song that I'll always hear. Tell me a story that I can read. Tell me a story that I believe.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is a very sober Andrew.
Boo to that. Last week's drunk Andrew was amazing. This is Damien.
And this is a very sober and sick Douglas.
You're sick with what?
Good evening.
Sick if you're what? Sick, you're going to be taking medication. And medication usually doesn't leave you sober. So what's going on?
I'm currently unmedicated. I realize now that the last time I took anything was at about, I don't know, 1 o'clock. It is now almost 8. So yes, it has worn off.
What are you sick with?
There's this flu that's going around the office.
Real men don't get sick.
So I have some sort of cold.
I'd like to start this off with a discussion that I wanted to have last week, plan to have this week, but we're late once again. So I'm just going to have this discussion because this is never going to happen. You guys saw Django?
Yes.
A while back?
Yes.
And Andrew was kicked out of the Tarantino fan club for putting it, I think, 9th or some such nonsense. And you didn't like it.
No, I don't want to say
near
as
much
like,
as
okay,
Andrew.
Fair enough, yeah.
I think you're both wrong. I think this movie is amazing. I really do think that this movie is amazing. I remember you said that there were some things that he did in the movie that kind of irritated you. Like, it's things that he does all the time.
No, he does, and that's why I kind of prefaced it by saying almost all of his movies, except for a lot of the more recent ones, the three recent ones, Kill Bill and
Inglourious.
I did not like the first time out.
Okay.
And it is for that reason that he's kind of in your face all the time. But I, especially on the second viewing and further viewings, like it even more and essentially love it by the end of the day. Right. So I don't want to, I don't want to put forward my views on it right now as my final view because it won't be. And the fact that I'm already somewhat positive on it means that more than likely I'm going to have your view very soon.
So I've seen it twice.
Twice.
Because it was still in theater. Probably still at Carib.
I think it is.
So I saw it last week when I was supposed to talk about it on the podcast. And when I saw that it was still at Carib, I said, I should probably go and watch this again to make sure that, I'm not making a mistake here. And no, I think this is my favorite Tarantino film. I think it might, like, the only competition I have is Inglourious, but I've seen, this is the most recent, it's the most present film. I remember loving Inglourious. I think because Tarantino didn't do any of the things that are usually knock him on. You know, those long dialogues between characters that essentially have nothing to do with the plot. It's just Tarantino flexing. There wasn't really any of that in the movie. And there is a section where Rick Ross comes on. And I think that is absolutely goddamn amazing. The second time I saw it in the theater, when that song came on, it was also widespread confusion. No one really, like, even one guy even went, what the hell is Rick Ross doing in this movie? Right? Like, there was, people were kind of confused, and I was just there. Kind of, like, it was perfect. I think, and I don't know, like, now that, like, after watching Django, I look back at my list for last year. I went, the list that I put forward in my top 10 is absolute garbage. There are a lot of movies in there. Now that I've seen Killing Them Softly and Seven Psychopaths and Django.
You know, I still haven't watched Seven Psychopaths. What is wrong with me?
This is, like, all of this that I had in there. It's a lot of it shouldn't be there. But the thing that I really wanted to talk about this movie is the two other movies that I just mentioned, Killing Them Softly and Seven Psychopaths. I think, including Django, I think all three of these are kind of dark comedies. There are a lot of comedic elements about them. Seven Psychopaths being the most obvious. That one has just straight up jokes, you know, and Killing Them Softly, I found myself laughing quite a bit in that movie. And there was definitely some things played for laughs. I mean, it's very dark. The subject matter is very dark. And so, you know, it wasn't like a carefree kind of thing.
It's all corporate now. I have to hold my fucking hands.
All right.
I'm sorry. There's no way you can't tell me that wasn't meant to be funny.
Fair enough. And Django being the one that supposedly had the darkest subject matter. But then a lot of it, like a whole lot of that movie, Sam Jackson's entire purpose for being in that movie.
No, but even Jamie Foxx's,
right,
not necessarily what he did, but his
character,
the way he said his, the way he what's the word? The way he just said everything, you know, the way he moved, the way he over-exaggerated everything he said. That was meant to be, you know. That wasn't Jamie Foxx not acting good, because we know that if you slap him enough, he cannot good, because we watched him in Ray. But you know,
like the first time he put on the blue suit, I went, "All right, Tarantino, I now understand what is happening in this movie." I kind of just went along for the ride, and when the movie was done, I went, "All right, that is pretty amazing." And then the second time I watched it, mind you, I had to watch it at Carib. The second audience was way more into the movie than the first time that I saw it. I don't know what the audience was hoping for, it sounded like they didn't really enjoy the movie until the very end. But this time around, everybody seemed to be on board. Most people laughed when they were supposed to laugh and kind of understood what the movie was trying to go for. And these, like, dark comedies... last year was terrible for comedies. It was absolutely abysmal. Can you think of two good comedies that came out?
Last year, I guess there was Hangover Part 2.
Part 2 was not last year.
There we go.
Andrew, can you name two comedies last year?
Last year, 21 Jump Street, Seven Psychopaths, Sightseers,
Well, Psychopaths doesn't count.
Yes.
What site's yours? I don't know that one.
The new Ben Wheatley film, which was on my list. Cabin in the Woods is kind of a comedy.
Oh yes, all right.
Right, but you know,
a lot. I feel like most of the comedies which we would all agree to being great comedies are all comedies plus something else, and it kind of bends on another genre to push its comedy even further.
Right, and I like this. I like this type of comedy where you take a serious subject matter. And you make a movie, but you find ways to inject a comedy into it. And I was just kind of... It was kind of sad that even Andrew... Like, the person that I thought would have championed this movie the most, Andrew, had it way down on his list and just... And he didn't even fight that hard, you know, to force us... Like, to force you to have it on the top 10... It's kind of like, well...
So, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to just... I don't want to make this seem, like, down on you guys.
Sure.
But just being honest with all of us, mm-hmm. being honest with ourselves, how often do you guys listen to me?
Every week, because we kind of have to.
No, I mean, like, we were doing that top 10,
right.
And the moment I said Django, Douglas said no, and the conversation was ended.
Yeah, but I didn't
could,
see the movie.
No, nothing I said could have, the only thing which could have brought that back is if Damien helped me out, and you hadn't seen it at that point.
So you don't think you can out-argue Douglas? No? You don't think you
every can? Every time it's me or one, mm-hmm. the other one says... I don't trust Andrew. I picked the other one.
Andrew, you kind of, like, you have to admit that is kind of your fault. Right? You've said things in the past, Andrew, that make it real hard. Real hard to trust you. Right? So you can't really blame us. Right? Between
I'm not well, once again, not blaming. Yeah. I'm just stating.
Yeah, but I really think if you tried harder, if you said Damien, just imagine that.
But that's me just selling the trailer back to you, which you already knew beforehand. Right.
So just sell it harder. Just sell it. Just ignore Douglas's nonsense. Look, I conned you guys into getting Skyfall to what, 5 on the top 10.
That was only because I helped with that one.
Right. So, I mean, you guys, I still think you should have tried harder. Django should have been in my top 10. That movie's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. I really want Douglas to watch it again because...
I will, and I'm sure that after the second viewing, I'll love it.
Do you remember anything specifically that you are kind of, if you know that I've
no,
seen?
Well, I really did enjoy it, mm-hmm. right? But I was, it got a bit tiresome, all of that flourish, because I knew that it wasn't really flourish because the movie required flourish. It was flourish because Quentin Tarantino wanted to show off, and that annoys me. So... As I said, this is one of those things. I'm just going to have to watch it again and love it for another reason, you know?
Fair enough. Speaking of Skyfall, PlayStation Network let me know that I can watch Skyfall from the PlayStation Network store. They went, oh, thanks, Sony. Could you ship me that Blu-ray now? And they're like, no. That's between you and Amazon. I have nothing to do with this. You pay me $5 and I'll let you watch this. And so I gave them $5. Now I watch Skyfall again. Well, hey guys, Skyfall is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing.
Do you get that forever or is that like a one-time one-time
watch? I am renting a viewing of Skyfall.
For $5?
For $450.
That's a lot of money.
It looked better than it did in Caribbean. And it sounded
fair
better
enough.
Cool.
Fair enough.
It's 8 bills to go to Carib. So yeah. Skyfall's pretty amazing. I started watching Archer again. But not the new season of Archer.
I started watched the last episode.
Going over, I started back from season one. I don't know. Like, I have season four's episodes to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing that, instead of doing the smart thing and watching the new episodes, I started over and I think it's getting better. Mm-hmm. The jokes still work. It's still pretty amazing. That first episode is a thing of beauty. And there's...
Once again, took other people to get Douglas to watch that show.
Yeah. We probably should... We should listen to Andrew some more. Well, but the thing is, when he's wrong, he's so wrong.
Yeah.
So I will bring up Micmax.
What about Micmax? I don't understand what's wrong about that movie.
A case of someone being so wrong?
Look, I know... The thing is, Andrew, I don't know when you're flat out wrong. All right? It is hard to pinpoint that. Right? I can look at something that Douglas chose and work backwards.
Understand where I'm coming from. I'm right. Like, okay, Douglas loves this, but here's the reason.
Right.
And this is why I will hate
I can it. Look at posters, look at artists, like musicians that had anything to do with the project, look at directors, and then you work my way backwards and go, no, Douglas is wrong. I'm fairly certain Douglas is fucking with me. Right? Right, look at, you know, who is in the angle. Alright. No. But you, I don't understand how your brain works, Andrew. It's been 10 years now or something like that. And I don't know.
But doesn't that make it more interesting?
No, it doesn't. Not really.
You're like, I don't know what I'll get.
Like, alright.
I'll throw indie. No, I don't know. I'll throw action. I don't know.
Right. It's just like your top movie, In the Mood for Love, right?
Like Someone in Love.
I've seen write-ups about the movie. I think I've seen a trailer for the movie. I think one came out last week.
Trailer that came out is horrendous. That's right. Why I didn't put it in
and
this week's.
Between what I've read and looking at that trailer, if Douglas had picked the movie, I'd have gone, Douglas is wrong. Right? I've gone, alright, Douglas is a crazy person. I'm ignoring everything that he said. But you, I have no way of working out if this movie is good or not. And so I still want to see that movie, but I'm very much expecting to not like anything about that movie. And I don't like
that. You're expecting technically a war horse.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm expecting something that is written and directed expertly, but all that story bit has fallen by the wayside. And so I don't know. And I don't trust you. That's the other thing. I do not trust you. Andrew, have you seen Torque?
Of course.
Okay. Alright, fair enough. Your brother has not.
Who has not seen the Adam Scott classic called Torque?
Douglas Robinson.
Adam Scott is in Torque?
No.
Adam Scott is in my Adam Scott?
Yes.
Yes!
He plays a...
I love Adam Scott. He's hilarious.
He plays one of the...
I saw.
The officers. The FBI agents. And to say that they're the worst FBI agents ever put on... film is understating just how Douglas, you know how movies are usually governed by some sort of logic, right? If not real logic that is consistent in a movie, Torque does not follow any of it is
the best bike fight scene ever.
You just heard him say bike fight, right? The bike fight scene was with two women. Now, bikes aren't light, and they are literally fighting the bikes. it's not a joke.
They have the equivalent of a kung fu kick.
Yeah.
Like, coming up against each other using the bikes. No, and it's so awesome.
Notice the fact that you haven't seen Torque is really annoying. Because you cannot truly appreciate what Fast and the Furious is doing, as we'll talk about later, unless you truly understand what makes Torque great.
The guy who directed Detention made that movie.
I'm well aware. I am well aware of that. But there were no bikes in Detention, were there? No.
There were no bikes in Detention, no. Sadly, but there was a Torque joke.
Yes, there was. And it was pretty good. Pretty good. Douglas, what have you seen this week?
I spoke about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to break tradition and speak about it again this week. Mm-hmm. I've been watching House of Cards. Not only have I been watching House of Cards, I have finished watching House of Cards. This,
how many episodes? 10?
13.
Oof.
This
13 times 1 hour is...
About 20 hours?
Is plus 5 the amount of movies Douglas usually watches on.
1, 2, 3, 17, so yes. 17. All
right. Yes, about there. 17. So I've spent 17 and a half hours
mm-hmm.
watching 13 hour long episodes.
Right.
Wait, that doesn't sound right. Anyway. This television show is, shall I say, fantastic. David Fincher only directs the first two, which Andrew brought up last week.
So that's all I need to watch. I can't stop.
Which I got upset about, especially when I got into, I think it was about the fifth or sixth episode, mm-hmm. and saw the name Joel Schumacher and almost cried myself to sleep. However, that does not make this show any less good. This show is superb. It is great to watch. You know what this is? This is a 13-hour-long revenge movie.
With politics?
With politics, yes.
Is there a fight scene?
A fight scene in the mind.
I don't like mind fights.
It's very much...
I like Inception.
It's very much about intrigue and who owes who favors and who can work around... You know, getting power over another person, and it's great. Essentially, what has happened is Kevin Spacey has been promised the Secretary of State position by the incumbent president, only to find out that he's about to get fucked, and he's going to stay exactly where he is, and he's not getting Secretary of State. He goes apeshit and decides, you know what, I'm taking down all y'all motherfuckers, and that is what this television show is about.
Oh, so it's like a House of Cards.
Yes. Mask. Yes.
Also a remake of a British show.
It is. And funnily enough,
as
you know...
most things are at this
yeah,
point.
That's true. Funnily enough, you know, I've watched the first about 10 minutes... No, I don't think it was that long. 5 minutes of the British show and decided I didn't like it. I think I'm going to have to revisit that.
You went and you said, David Fincher didn't direct this. It doesn't look very green. I'll... Go ahead, watch
no, but this one. Was long before anybody knew David Fincher was doing anything with it. It has been on Netflix for a long time. Actually, I can't remember. It was either Netflix or Amazon Prime. And I saw it, and the fourth wall was broken. And it was... It's a very old British show. And so, what I've noticed, especially about the more political British shows, that the actors in there are very stiff. And this... was no exception. So I kind of got a bit turned off, but I'm definitely going to have to at least try to watch the first few episodes of that and see if it even comes close. I mean, I know David Fincher pulled out a home run when he made Girl with the Dragon Tattoo about 10 times better than the original movie. So I will not be surprised if I retain my opinion and just say, you know what, the US version is better. But I want to at least try.
We should just... The David Fincher version.
You're right. The David Fincher version.
I don't feel comfortable saying the US version is better. It sounds dirty.
It does, doesn't it? But that is all that took up my time over the past week and a half. So, Andrew.
Did any of you guys see the Super Bowl by any chance?
No, I haven't watched...
Yes, I did.
I haven't watched football in a long time.
No, it's the Super Bowl. It's not real. You're not really watching football. It is
wait,
3 hours.
Wait, no, Damon. Damon, don't worry about it.
He
was talking the truth. He hasn't watched football in a long time.
I think there was supposed to be a joke in there, but I'm not.
Right? No, he's mocking both American and actual football, saying that you don't watch sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
regular football?
I tried watching some of the Super Bowl last week. And ran into the same problem that I have whenever watching American football, which is there's three plays run. It takes about a minute, 2 minutes, and then it is followed by 5 minutes of commercials. And then you start back and there is about 2 more minutes of people explaining what happened before the commercials happened so that you remember, oh, right, this is what is happening. And then they play for 2 more minutes and then rinse and repeat. And all I wanted to see though was the halftime show, because that is all the Super Bowl is good for. It's the halftime show, and then you go to YouTube. No, you go to YouTube afterwards and watch all the commercials.
So you're a big Beyonce fan, is that what you're saying?
No. I like spectacle. I like to see just how crazy a thing they can build and break down in a half an hour time period. I like seeing that because that is amazing. I don't really care about what happens. I even saw the Black Eyed Peas one, and that one, while the Black Eyed Peas are the worst, watching, like, just imagining how much effort went into constructing all that shit in order for them to destroy American culture and then break that back down so that they can play a football match. It's kind of amazing. And so I still haven't seen the halftime show, the performance. I haven't seen the performance, but I have seen all the ads. And this year is a complete and total fail for like 99%. I don't know what happened this year. The ads are just so abysmal.
By the way, what do you think about a VW ad?
The one that is supposedly racist.
Mm-hmm.
It is it's the internet, so it's, of course, it's dumb that people are arguing this point. It is a terrible ad. If they're going to spark up controversy, and me and my sister came up with the theory that VW was the ones that started the whole "it might be racist" thing, just in order to promote, to get, you know, people talking about it, because the ad is, in fact, both of them. The one where the guy is talking in the Jamaican voice. There's one with Jimmy Cliff.
Yeah, but that's the one where the guy's talking in the Jamaican voice. I don't know if he. If you're saying he's physically in one of them, then that's different. But
no, Jimmy Cliff is in... physically in one of them. Where they take a lot of people who are angry on the internet, like the Winnebago man and some other people, and Jimmy Cliff is in... the outfit that he's in might be racist.
No, wait, hold on. I can imagine what outfit he's in, and honestly, it's not racist because he's just an idiot and wears that all the time.
I understand, but even that was standing, the outfit is probably the most racist. And he's just seeing, and then there's just people coming towards him, and both ads are horrendous. Especially when you remember that last year they had the Kid Darth Vader ad. That is what VW did last year, and that ad was amazing. This little kid, you know, force bending or whatever it is, the car, and then the car turns on. That's pretty good. The Samsung ad was 2 minutes and is atrocious. In fact, most of the... I don't understand what the hell happened this year. I heard that the match was the actual reason why people watch the Super Bowl, the football part. I heard that, you know, that was pretty good towards the end, like the first half, one side dominated.
Yeah, towards the end, half, the 49ers tried to come back, but they failed. Right. But, you have anything else that you watched
this
week? Andrew, what did you watch this week?
I didn't see much. I saw opening night. I talked about Cassavetes when I started going through his filmography. I'm almost done, and I watched his 1977 film Opening Night, which was about an actress who is in the process of putting on her next play, and early in the process a fan comes out to greet her, and that fan ends up dying by some random circumstance, and it plagues her throughout the whole process of her preparing for this play. And it's kind of a fantastic film. One thing you notice watching a lot of Cassavetes films is that he ends up casting his wife. I don't know where in the process of time she became his wife, Gina Rowlands. And while I haven't enjoyed a lot of the Cassavetes films, I must say that Opening Night is probably my favorite thus far. And it's mainly for the performance.
Can you just clarify, does that mean that you like Opening Night?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And I think the main reason why I like Opening Night this much is because of the performance of Gina Rowlands as she goes through this time in her life where she's trying to deal with everything that's going on. She feels some grief for this fan who died. She's trying to figure out how to attack this role, as it's a role about aging when she's not that old, and she doesn't want to play it as an old person because she doesn't want people to then typecast her as that person going forward throughout her career. And at the same time, she's dealing with some form of alcoholism. I don't feel like that's a big part of the movie, but it kind of plays in later on. I just really enjoyed this movie. It's something I hope you guys check out sometime. But the movie I really want to talk about, and I really hope you guys seek out, is a film by the name of A Late Quartet.
Sorry.
That is the one with...
directed by Dustin Hoffman. Right.
No, yes, no, no.
Yes, it is.
Douglas?
What?
Are you listening to me?
It's the one with...
with the four famous people, right, that are...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The four really famous guys.
Yeah. Okay, Andrew. Speak.
The movie you're thinking of, and I made this very mistake when I pressed play, because I thought I was playing the Dustin Hoffman movie, is called Quartet, not A Late Quartet.
Ah.
Oh. Oh.
A Late Quartet.
Oh.
Is a film, yes, about four famous people. It right. stars Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, Catherine Keener.
That is the movie
well,
that I was thinking about.
But it's not the one directed by Dustin Hoffman.
I
thought it was, you know what it is? Because I guess I know in my head, this is the movie that plays when I hear A Late Quartet. But last week when we were talking, I must have looked up A Quartet by accident and saw directed by Dustin Hoffman and said, oh, okay, I will never watch this movie.
and this guy called Mark Ivanir. And there's also Imogen Poots. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name.
It's probably
Imogen. Pronounce it that way. I was thinking more of her last name. I'm like, Poots, oh, that seems weird. who plays a role in this movie. And it's a fantastic movie. It starts out early with Christopher Walken's character discovering that he's suffering from early stages of Parkinson's. And he's made the decision that he's going to have to retire from music. And the quartet needs to find a replacement. And this becomes the beginning of a lot of changes wanting to happen within the quartet and between in the relationship of these four individuals, as they have been a group playing music for the last 25 years and like one of the greatest quartets out there still playing. It's interesting to me as how much this movie plays not just on those relationships, but on how the perspectives of the music go into that. I mean, there's an early scene where we see Hoffman say, you know, why don't we try and play this without the music in front of us for once? Let's hear what we sound like. And there's someone in the group who's against that because, you know, he just wants to be a perfectionist. And then, of course, all of these things come to a head towards the end of the film. There's a lot of twists and turns, and I can see someone who is not willing to... Who feels that by the time we reach the end of the movie, there have been too many bumps along the road that they kind of get distracted and overwhelmed with how much the filmmaker puts into the movie. But I actually really loved it so much. The name of the director is, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Yaron Zilberman. And this is his second film. His only other film was in 2004, a documentary called Watermarks, I believe it's called. And I hope I can find that movie to go and watch it, because this movie is just too great.
I think Andrew is being ensembled. I'm pretty sure that is what is happening right here. Because the movie... Douglas, stop me if you... I think I can speak for both of us. The description of the movie you just gave is pretty terrible. That sounds like a bad movie. That's so... It sounds like Marigold Hotel with instruments.
I'm pretty sure what you just described is the actual Dustin Hoffman movie.
You see, this is the thing, you know. That this is what I was trying to explain earlier.
Did Dustin Hoffman direct, what was the name of that movie, like Last Chance Charlie or something like that?
No, he didn't.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, I'll check, but as far as I know, Quartet is his first film he's directing.
Okay. You see, if I go and watch this movie now and hate it, right, which there is a strong chance that is going to happen based on Andrew's description, all this will do is give credence to the fact that I should never listen to Andrew.
Right. You're like, there's a 10 minutes Andrew talks, let's just skip over that part.
And there is, like, last year he got a free pass because of FP. And so, you know, there is something there that I could point at and go, sure, he was wrong about all of this, but at least he gave me that. And I don't see that happening this year.
And if it does happen, is it going to happen with a late quartet?
I don't know.
I know I didn't call, but I'll be alone in a little while. You know, sometimes when I don't call, I still get low in a little while. Sometimes I wonder, sometimes I take too long, but I know where I'm heading. I know I belong. I didn't call.
But anyway, let's get to the reason why we're here, guys.
Trailers.
Sapphire.
Soul music is about loss. So every note that passes through your lips should have the tone of a woman who's grasping and fighting and desperate to retrieve what's been taken from her. Now what it is that you're searching for, that's up to you.
Girls, sing something. Anything.
Douglas Robinson, your favorite actor is in Sapphires. How did you like the trailer?
Andrew, why would you do this to me? Why would you show me a trailer with Chris O'Dowd in it? That is this terrible. Why? You know how
because
much
I want
to
challenge your love of Chris O'Dowd.
Listen, first of all, you know how much love there is? So much so that I will correct you and say it's not Chris O'Dowd. It's Chris O'Dowd. Okay? Get that shit right, motherfucker. No, honestly,
so
this trailer.
COD?
Apparently it is. No. but no, honestly, this trailer was poor. It screamed of desperation because it tells me two things. One, this movie is going to be bad. Two, they really want me to watch it. So much so that they are squeezing the movie for every scene that Chris O'Dowd is in, that he's actually making a joke that could possibly be funny. I promise you, one, this is not a comedy. Two, that the only jokes in this movie were in the trailer. And three, the rest of the movie will be trash. That is not to say that the jokes and the trailer wasn't trash, because the jokes in the trailer were pretty bad as well. So what I have to look forward to are bad jokes that I've already seen and
some
nothing
good
else.
Songs. Some decent songs. Probably some.
So no thank you, Andrew. No thank you.
Off those songs. Probably listen to music and ignore everything else. That every year they make movies like this. And every year they are terrible. The last one I enjoyed was Dreamgirls, and I did not enjoy that movie.
You didn't enjoy Dreamgirls?
Not really. I enjoyed watching Jennifer Hudson, I think her name is. Enjoyed watching her absolutely crush those songs. That is what I enjoyed. The rest of that movie was one of those movies. And every time that I saw Dreamgirls afterwards, what would happen is I'd get to the part where she sings You're Gonna Love Me, and just keep repeating that over and over again, and marvel at just how dynamic a singer this girl is, just how much range she has. And then I watch the rest of the movie and go, oh, alright. Yeah. It's one of these. It's one of these movies. Sapphires. The thing is, I always find myself watching these to have another moment like that, have to see, like, these people perform these songs that I know, to see if they can, you know, put some spin on it or make it that much better or do something special with the songs. Because listening to these songs is always a decent time, even if the movie that surrounds it is always mediocre. And so I'd probably end up watching this. Like, I've seen, God, there was one not too long ago.
Cadillac something?
Yeah. And that one was awful. It was an awful movie.
Was that the one with Adrian Brody?
Yeah, that was the one with Adrian Brody. Oh. Right? That is the one that I was trying to remember. Cadillac something something. And
I think
one where he gives everyone a Cadillac.
Right.
Yeah.
There was another one, I think Beyonce was in it. She was
no, she's it. That's also Cadillac.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And they're all bad. I just group them all together as being kind of terrible. But even that one had some good performances, and that's pretty much all I watch them for. They're like the Step Up movies, where you only watch it for that, the dance sequences, and go, that was pretty cool. I know I'll never watch this again. It's essentially that, except we replace dancing with some singing. I'm going to see this sadly, but I will not. I don't see myself enjoying it. Douglas is right. Though, if the jokes in the trailer are that poor, oh, I can only imagine. Only imagine how bad it's going to be. Andrew Robinson, you picked this trailer for reasons unbeknownst to anybody. How did you like Sapphires?
This trailer isn't that great.
Okay.
But I don't know. I kind of look at it and I have hope. And I don't know why. It's unfounded, I'd say. Like, I watch it and I see Chris O'Dowd. I see a Soul movie. And I wonder, why is Chris O'Dowd in Australia? Why?
Yeah, he clearly did not try to sound Australian. He still.
I'm
had
sure there'll
a
be a one line where
he'll
be like,
I don't think anybody in that trailer tried to sound Australian. Even the girls that were supposedly Australian did not sound very Australian. So
they did in the beginning, I guess, when they were just like, "Yeah, we sing country."
If you say so.
But yeah, it is a film that I've heard good things of, so I wanted it to be there for us to take note of it. But the trailer itself doesn't scream, watch me.
Do you want to know what does scream, watch me?
Oh, yes. Sweet segue, Douglas. I think I'll take over from here.
Is it that you smell baby oil?
Stop the talking. No. Ladies and gentlemen, Douglas Robinson has made the wise decision of picking the best movie that will come out this year on his fantasy list. Now, I'll say from the top that this movie will be getting a 4 from myself based on the trailer that we're about to talk about. This movie's getting a 4 out of 4. So Douglas is about to bank. Say 4. I mean, even if Andrew gives it a 1, that's still a 3. So you're about to bank like half a billion dollars. So congratulations, because there's no way we're catching you. In, I think, 2001 or 2, a great movie.
It was 2001.
A great movie was made. It was called The Fast and the Furious. Now, you can't see my face when I say great, but I'm actually throwing up as I say that. Because Fast and the Furious was hot garbage. Too Fast, Too Furious was straight garbage. And then this trend continued. It was like a black hole of which good movies were thrown into. Until 2 years ago. When someone had the bright idea to get back all the people from Fast and Foolishness and put them in one big dumb action movie. Right? And they did it. And it was terrible, but it was the right kind of terrible. They're at it again. And they put out a trailer over the Super Bowl weekend. And it is beautiful. The Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious.
How do I smell baby oil?
You keep running your pie hole, you're going to smell an ass kicking.
You got the best crew in the world standing right in front of you. Give them a reason to stay.
Our target's Owen Shaw, former Spec Ops soldier. For years, they've been running jobs in Europe, but it's our most recent job that graduated them to a whole new level. The loss of life is unthinkable. I'm offering you a chance to make your family whole again.
You get us close to Letty and we'll get you Shaw. And you give us full pardons all the way around.
I can't promise you that.
That's the deal. Take it or leave it.
And 7, because they made 2. The second one is supposed to come out next year. The trailer for Fast and Furious 6 is magic. It is what all action movies are supposed to be. I just watched Douglas' reaction to the trailer, and for the first minute and a half, Douglas was like, there's a lot of talking here, but I don't see what is special. And then Douglas started going, no, no, no. And by the end of the trailer, Douglas was on board. Now, this is the first dumb action movie to come out that I think will surpass Torque. Now, for the people who haven't seen Torque, like Douglas, I'm sorry. You don't... Part of your life is missing. how can I put this? What is the best way to put this? Imagine the Bad Boys franchise. Now, multiply that by the last Fast and Furious movie. Just in terms of ridiculous things happening. And you're approaching what Torque is. Torque is so amazing, Douglas. it defies my logic. It defies the own movie's logic. There are bike fights. There is a man that, in fact, the bikes fight on top of a train. There's a point at the end of the movie, Douglas, where a man revs a bike and the people standing behind that bike and producer and stuff like that is blown away by the raw power and intensity of this bike. This movie is so dumb. It is magic. And no one has ever... Fast and the Furious did not even attempt to approach that. They were still trying to make a movie until the last outing where they decided, let us ignore all the things that you're supposed to do in a movie. Let's just make this dumb and fun and let's invite The Rock to come in. And Fast and the Furious 6 might be the new Torque. And I cannot... The trailer is amazing. It is... goddamn amazing.
Damon White.
Yes.
They used cars.
Yep.
To what they attached cars to a cargo, a heavy freight cargo airplane.
The biggest one in the world.
In order to hold it down and keep it from flying away.
Yes. And they succeeded.
And they succeeded.
And then what happened, Douglas?
And then a car... a car burst through the nose of said cargo
of
plane.
Of the burning cargo plane.
This trailer...
They have a tank, Douglas.
They have a tank. They have a tank. This trailer is fantastic.
Oh, God damn it.
I have to say that ever since that 2001 movie, I have had... While I know... Down here,
right.
That they are awful movies,
and this one will be awful.
And this one will be awful. I've had a soft spot in my heart for all of these films. I agree with you. The latest films have been more in line with the just dumb action movie that works if you turn off your mind and right. Get ready for a dumb action movie.
Loosen the shackles of yes. You know movie story and logic
yes
to make an amazing movie
and
it succeeded
and it appears as you say that they continue with that and have figured out how to make it even better. So with that, I formally accept my whatever award it is I'm getting for right. Winning the Fantasy League
trophy.
Up front. I right. I will accept it today if
you
will give it to me.
I just don't see how I don't see how we're going to catch him, Andrew. We messed this up. I thought Superman was going to be the slam dunk. Oh, God damn it. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Robinson.
You're not supposed to be looking at her. You're supposed to be talking.
Mm-hmm. Subtle. Real subtle. Look, getting a 0 for To The Wonder will make a difference to my overall score.
Don't worry, Damien. I'll give it a 2 just to help you.
No, but if I don't watch it, I get a 0. It doesn't matter if you guys watch it. I have to watch it or I get 0. So, Andrew Robinson, are you going to concede the fantasy to Douglas, or do you think you still have some kind of chance?
There's no fucking way he's going to beat me. I'm not defying the goodness of this trailer, the goodness of the movie that is handing me. But there's no way this movie will equate to Hobbit 2 money and Star Trek 2 money.
Andrew Robinson, do you realize that I also have the Smurfs?
No, the Smurfs will get you 2 cents.
No. The Smurfs will get me 25% of all of the money
dollars.
Made in the world.
Right.
But you have to watch it first, Douglas.
I do.
Which
I do.
You won't. Andrew, I don't know if you saw the trailer. I don't know if you just saw the Fast and Furious trailer. Or if you saw the same trailer that we saw.
Because it is clear that from both of us,
mm-hmm.
it is about to get an automatic 4.
Right. I'm not going to argue that Hobbit won't make a lot of money and Star Trek won't make a lot of money. It won't make as much money as this dumb show. I don't think so. We can take side bets if you want. But I really don't think... I don't think you're seeing what I... Star Trek still has Star Trek in the title. So that will limit the amount of people who go to watch it. Fast and the Furious will be seen by everyone.
Yes, and you must remember that there's something at the end of Fast and the Furious. And that number is 6.
Right.
It has been so profitable historically that they have made 6 of them.
Well, 7, because the 7th one is already done.
The 7th one is already done.
The Rock is in this one again. And where The Rock goes, money tends to follow. Kind of straightforward.
Yeah.
So while I really don't want to get deeper into this argument, I hope this will shut it down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Fast 5 made overall
mm-hmm.
$209 million.
I've looked at the figures. But yeah. Fast 5, remember what Fast 5 was coming off the back of, right? Fast 3, the Tokyo one, was trash. And everyone was kind of finished, right? Fast 4 mm-hmm. is when they got back Vin Diesel and everybody went, It's kind of alright. They got back Vin Diesel. The last one was when they introduced The Rock and everybody went, holy shit, I think they're serious. And while people were trepidatious, when everybody saw the movie, they're like, guys, this movie's dumb. But everyone has to watch this movie. And everyone has. Even if you didn't go to the theater to see it, you went and you saw the movie. If you think there's even a chance that all the people who went to watch Fast Five aren't going to watch this, you're wrong. And they're going to bring everybody.
Damien, I'm not saying that you're wrong in the Fast and the Furious logic. I'm asking, doesn't that same logic apply to Star Trek?
No, Andrew, because Star Trek is in the title. There's still a stigma around Star Trek. Andrew, I'm not saying that people don't love Star Trek. But if you look at the audience, if you draw a Venn diagram, right? The Star Trek circle will overlap with the Fast and Furious circle. But there is a large section of the Fast and Furious people that will not watch anything called Star Trek. Think about Jamaica.
So hold on. Don't you feel the way that you're talking about how Fast Five changed people's perspective of the Fast and the Furious franchise? The last J.J. Abrams Star Trek didn't change people's perspective,
Andrew,
of that franchise?
That is not... My argument isn't that. What I'm saying to you is, if you take Jamaica as example, right? There are people here that will watch Fast and the Furious that will never watch anything called Star Trek. But people who watch Star Trek, I'm pretty sure 95% of them will also go and watch something called Fast and the Furious. That is my argument. And I think that's true anywhere you go in the world.
Okay.
But we'll see.
My soul is young, and I'm longing to see my day done. See me breaking through. My time is coming soon, so I'm waiting.
I'm having a hard time right now, Jill. I just need a place to stay for a while.
We're on your team.
Your team, Janice.
Team that pays their bills.
Why'd you choose to start doing this robot thing?
I feel like modern life can be alienating. It can be like you're mindlessly walking through it, like a robot.
I guess I just want people to know that they're not crazy. I mean, life is crazy, right?
Good morning, Janice.
How about concessions? If you're desperate, I can give you that.
I am desperate.
You work here?
Miserable human being.
What?
That's what they call this exhibit.
I want you to meet someone.
What?
Speaking of Star Trek, Star Wars, and all of these things, we recently watched a movie about a mechanical man.
Yes, we did. Uh-huh. All right, Douglas Robinson. Feel free. You picked this movie.
I did.
24 hours ago and forced us to watch it.
Well, Andrew has put in place a rule that we must pick movies on Netflix.
Right.
And I searched through the films on Netflix very quickly.
That was technically the rule, but sure.
Andrew, I'm just kidding. But I came up with a film that had a couple things working for it, at least in my mind. It had Jenna Fischer, who is from The Office. I love that show. I love her in that show. It also has, I believe his name is Chris Messina. Mm-hmm. I've slowly been growing very fond of him. He is in The Mindy Project, and he's great in that. And he's in a few movies that, you know, I like him in and that I haven't seen but expect to like him in as well. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try for this one. And I remember vaguely watching a trailer for this movie and thinking, that looks okay. Boy, was I wrong. This film was something special. they clearly were going after a romantic indie film sort of feel. And I guess in some sense they kind of got there. But this movie was not great. When I saw when I saw Malin Ackerman, I realized, whoa, I may have made a mistake here. There are very few things she's in that I like. One of those few things are The Watchmen. I don't think there's much else. It also had the guy from Andrew's favorite show, Mad Men. Again, I don't know about that Mad Men show. But this movie, it just never went anywhere.
Who was really from Mad Men that was in this movie?
Malin Ackerman's husband.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Right. So, this movie never quite went where it needed to go. It always felt like it was scratching the surface. The relationship between Jenna Fischer and Chris Messina, while it looked at that, it never felt like we got deep enough in there or deep enough into anything. And so when, you know, we see Jenna Fischer with Topher Grace, yes, he's an asshole. Yes, he only thinks of himself.
I think he might be the only good thing about this movie.
Right. He was fairly good in the movie. But honestly,
that
I didn't...
That was pretty special.
It was. But the truth of the matter is, though, his character was only needed for about one scene. So he got overplayed, I thought. They should have used the time to more get into her and the robot, and they didn't. The movie just... It's a flailing pile of rubbish, unfortunately. I apologize to my co-hosts and hope to do better next time.
You need to step your game up. Andrew Robinson. It is because of your Netflix only rule why Douglas picked this movie.
Oh god.
What are your thoughts? Stop laughing and tell us what you think about the movie.
So before I go any further, I want to applaud Douglas.
Right.
Because I'd like to let him know that he's done something special. Like a while back he picked Roman Holiday.
Yeah.
And he ruined Cary Grant, not Cary Grant, why am I saying Cary Grant? Why can't I remember his name right now? The guy who played Atticus Finch in...
Ignore that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Charade.
Yes, not Roman Holiday.
Yeah, Roman Holiday is...
A different movie.
A different...
Ignore.
Yeah.
We know what you were talking about, Douglas.
You're talking about Audrey Hepburn and... Cary Grant.
Charade was the movie that he picked, not Roman Holiday. We've never talked about Roman Holiday on this podcast.
No, we have talked about Roman Holiday. Yes, we have.
We reviewed Roman Holiday.
Yeah.
Are you sure about it?
Roman Holiday was great with Gregory Peck, correct?
Gregory Peck, that's the name I'm trying to remember.
But I love that movie. Did
you
not like
that movie?
Yeah, we did.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure we did. It's the one where...
No, I know what the movie is. Alright, never mind. Andrew Robinson, you're trying to make a point for your brother.
I was trying very hard.
Douglas.
Yes, Douglas picked Roman Holiday only to ruin Gregory Peck for me. Not to say that he picked a bad movie there, but he changed my perspective of who that man was as an actor to me. Right, in that one fell swoop. Here, by picking a bad movie, however, he's decided in one fell swoop to ruin Chris Messina, Lucy Punch.
Oh yes, that's
true. Topher Grace and Bob Odenkirk. Bob Odenkirk, who I think is like one of the most fun like character actor comedians out there today. We know him better as Saul from Breaking Bad right now.
I know him best as that terrible guy in the Samsung commercial.
Yeah, Damien last week was talking about Celeste and Jesse Forever.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched that movie yet, but I remember the way Damien was describing that movie was talking about, like, the anti-romantic comedy. The romantic comedies in themselves have their own tropes and their own ridiculousness that people generally don't like that much when it's done too much to the T. Indie romantic comedies, I believe, are even worse in that regard when it feels too much trying to follow a guideline that's been given out by too many movies. This movie is one of those. You see it from the beginning. Chris Messina is a mess. The other girl is a mess. They lose everything that's about their life. It gets even worse. Magically, they meet and they figure out by the end that they should be together. And it's this wonderful, and they have all of these quirky things about them which make them that much weirder. Chris Messina is a robot who paints himself silver and goes outside thinking that's a job. The girl can't hold a job and just, I don't know what we should really call quirky about her. She's just dysfunctional. This movie is horrendous. Thank you, Douglas, for not making me be the only person to not like this movie. Because I was afraid you'd come back and be like, there was a band in this one song in a scene.
Was a band.
But Damien, no, what did you think of this movie?
Definitely, I'm not fire and brimstone like you guys. Shit, you guys hate this movie. Now, the movie surrounds... Andrew gave a rough description. Douglas didn't even pretend to talk about the movie. So the giant mechanical man is this gentleman who dresses up, puts on makeup, goes out, and, you know, people pay him to pretend to be a robot. And he is now down on his luck. The other girl, what's her name in the show?
Jenna Fisher?
No, in the show.
Lucy Punch?
In the actual movie, what is her name? What is the character's name in the movie?
Janice.
Oh, Janice. That's what you mean, yes. In the show.
Right. Janice is unemployed. She was working for... Well, she was getting temporary jobs, and she was fired from that, which is pretty sad. And she got kicked out of her apartment. She has to go and live with her sister. And she does not know... what she's to do with her life. And the mechanical man, his girlfriend leaves him, and it is all sadness and doom and gloom. And they both see this ad in the paper for zoo. They both apply for work in the zoo, and they meet, and they fall in love, and the movie's boring. But that is all the movie is. It is not... It's not a transgression, as you guys are making out to be. It is just poorly executed. There is nothing about the movie that is that bad. It is only that bad because we have seen far superior movies. But you guys are making it seem like there is something that is being done to you in this movie. And that is not the case. That was the case last week. The Alps. That is what
yes.
Last week that was the case. This week it is not the case. It is just a poor movie. But it is one of those movies that if you saw it on, say, the movie channel or on Netflix, like we have to watch it on now, thanks to Andrew being sponsored by the Netflix Corporation.
Wait, can I tell you one thing before you talk? Because you started talking about sponsored by the Netflix, and it made me remember something. I was very upset,
mm-hmm.
because one of the main reasons why I even picked this... Well, first, as I said, you know, I like the people in it. I remember the trailer thinking, okay, this might work.
Right.
Steve
Netflix.
Steve, you bastard.
Gave it a 3 stars.
Steve gave it like a 3.5 stars or some shit like that out of 4. And I was just like, Steve, if you think this is so good, I clearly am going to like it.
But Steve,
I would say that Steve generally rates his movies out of 5, I believe.
Well, whatever it was, it was a very high rating.
It was 2 stars more than it can possibly hold, actually. So Steve, once again, you're wrong. For people not following, it's Steve Netflix. That's the person we're talking about. He's the one that rates all the movies and hands Andrew his check at the end of the month. The movie is mediocre, guys. It is not anywhere near as bad as you guys are making it out. That is not to say that I think people should actively, you know, try and watch this movie. If you happen across the movie, you'll be bored for an hour and 20 minutes and then you'll move on with your life. You will hate any other actors for being in it, like these two guys. It seems a bit ridiculous because it's not like they acted poorly or did anything that they weren't supposed to do. The script was just bad. It was a bad script and it was boring. The director didn't tilt the camera all the time or did swirling shots or anything. Like, tone it down a bit. I know you guys are tired. It's been a long week and Douglas chose the movie 30 minutes before we had to record this. Guys, relax. Take it down a notch.
Can I just say, it's something I find very weird in movies, and it happened about 3 times in this film. Why is it that whenever there's a scene in a movie where someone has a job interview, there's never any discussion of salary or, like, working hours? They're just like, you want a job? Yes. And they're just there.
Andrew, it's like, the same reason why whenever the phone is ringing in movies, people pick it up on the first ring and know exactly who's talking. There's a lot of things that you have to do in movies so that the movie isn't a billion hours long. Whenever people turn on the TV, it is exactly the news article that they need to hear at that specific moment. The news was just waiting for them. Today, 900 people were shot. That has never happened ever. There's no commercials on the TV when you... There's things you have to do, Andrew. I understand it's a pet peeve, but you're going to have to get over that one. You really want to watch a movie where half an hour is spent talking to people? So how much do you think you should get paid? Oh, $1 billion.
No, but it was really weird because you could see the enthusiasm in these guys, Janice and Tim's eyes, going like, yes, I'll be a janitor. Without even thinking, is that can sarcasm? This pay my rent?
Is that sarcasm? Because there was no enthusiasm in any of those interviews. There was
enthusiasm when Janice decided to ball the fuck up and ask for a better job. Yeah.
That was the only point where there was enthusiasm. I must say, the movie started off with the guy saying, why would you spend $3,000 on a TV? And I was instantly no longer on his side. Nope, you fucked up, son. This movie's trash.
He's like, have you ever heard of books?
Yes, I have. I've been reading a couple, and they're boring as shit. Hey, Snooki and J-Wo have a book, so books can also be trash too, guys. Hey, guys, there's terrible books. So, Douglas, you are off the mark, but it's not as bad as you think. Or maybe I saw a slightly better version of the movie. But the movie is just, it's mediocre, it's not horrendous, like Andrew said.
Transgression against it.
Making it look like these guys.
I think that's what it is, and he wants to get back at us because we gave the Alps a TAC.
We should have a TAC awards at the end of the year.
It's been the podcast. This is what we sound like.
Wow.
It's all on gmanreviews.com. We're on iTunes.
Let's keep that
Damien. Damien is at Damien_White.
Guys.
I'm at gmanreviews.
Guys. Oh, God.
Do you get unwanted solicitations or something?
Well, outside of the spam. Just rampant on Twitter. If I even look past the fact that there's spam on Twitter, which it still hurts me to think that that is a thing. But whenever I go and look at, you know, what is trending or whatever on that site, I just go, I don't want because they're recording all of this and nothing that is on the internet ever goes away. I don't want when 30 years from now, when my children look back, when Google just finally gives you, you know, this is all the shit you've done since you've been on the internet. I don't want when my children look back at my internet diary, they see that I had anything to do with Twitter. That Twitter is the worst. Guys, I understand that it has benefits.
So Damien is at Damien underscore white with a Y, W-H-Y-T-E.
Mm-hmm. I'll be tweeting at you.
My Twitter handle is at DJR lost his name. As always, you can find us, as Andrew said, on gmanreviews.com. Well, Andrew writes lots of stuff on gmanreviews.com. Good night, and hopefully you'll listen to this one as well as our future episodes.
So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on. Lost again, lost again. One day I know I'll pass through course again. Smile again, smile again. One day I hope to make you smile again. I won't cry. Many times I've been told, speak your mind, just be bold. So I'll close. Look behind, moving on, moving on. So I close my eyes, and the tears will clear. Then I feel no fear. Then I feel no way. My past will be made straight. Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again.